This red button here?
Yeah, I noticed the red button. It's not...
It's not as red as it ought to be.
No. See what you can do about that.
If I push it?
Yeah, I'll go.
Connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Robin Hilton. And what's this music, Rob?
This is Tobacco. Let's just listen to it.
Okay. See you in a while. So on All Songs Considered today, we're picking the songs, the ones we missed, I guess is the best way to think about
right.
this show, right? All
right.
year long, we pick music, and either for good reasons or bad reasons, we just didn't get them on the show, and we're sorry we didn't. We start out with your pick there, which was Tobacco.
Tobacco, and so what we did is we're getting ready to post our poll so people can vote for their favorite albums.
December 1st, right?
Yeah, December 1st. Yeah. And in order to come up with a list of choices, we asked listeners to give us, you know, what their favorite records of the year were. And there were so many on there that I hadn't listened to this year. And this is one of them. The band is Tobacco. The album is Maniac Meat. And that song is called Stretch Your Face. I was just listening to that thinking, if I was in my car, I'd be going 150 miles an hour right now. I just love this record. I love that song. Tobacco is the solo project for this guy named Tom Feck, who is the frontman for Black Moth Super Rainbow, if you know that band.
Yeah, we sure do.
It's a very trippy, synth-heavy album. There are moments when it's really gritty, rock, with, you know, as though it's being played from overblown speakers. It's dark but danceable. I just really love this record. It was a real nice find in the list that listeners gave us. And Beck actually appears on a couple of the tracks on this record, yeah.
So that poll that goes up on December 1st will have people have a while to vote for the favorite 10 out of a list of what? We've got like hundreds of nominations, so maybe there's 200 and something records you can write in if you want to. And then that we'll post the results on a show that goes up with listener picks for the best records of 2010 on December 14th. The week before, we're finally going to get Carrie Brownstein back, right?
Yep, she finally finished her tour with Wild Flag, and she's ready to sit down and talk about some of the best music she heard this year.
Right, and we'll all get together and talk about a whole bunch of stuff as we wrap up our favorites of the year, favorite songs, favorite records, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. That's what's coming up. So ones we miss, I'm actually just procrastinating because I don't know what the heck to pick next out of that one. How about this? There's a guitarist. His name is Jack Rose. Jack Rose died at the right around this time last year, the top of December. He's like 38 years old, had a heart attack.
Wow.
Yes. He's known for sort of being this noise rock band Pelt. But in the late 90s or so, he started playing acoustic guitar in the John Fahey style. Mm-hmm. And if I say that and you don't know his name, that would be this usually 6 or 12 string acoustic guitar playing, a lot of open ringing strings. He's very much into drone and stuff, so the open ringing strings really fits into what his love is of guitar music. Usually self-taught musicians, the John Fahey style, that sort of finger-picking, nice melodies all over the place, but lots of ringing strings, as I said. And a few months after he died, somewhere in February of this year, a record of Jack Rose's came out. It's a third of sort of this sort of ragtimey in many ways. It's like music of pre-war music that he's done. This is a third in that sort of style. Record's called Luck in the Valley is the name of the record. I know Lars Gotrich, who we sit across from, is a big fan of Jack Rose, and maybe stealing his thunder. We're going to do a show with Lars the end of the year. I know he probably won't talk about it, but I really like this record, and it's been on my mind for a while, the last bunch of weeks, for random reasons. It comes up, and let me play the title cut, Luck in the Valley.
Really, really, really nice. So he was in the band Pelt before that, right? And that was more of a noisy, sort of drony rock group, right? I mean, how do you know how he got to this?
I think it's one of those life-changing moments. Quits his job and just starts focusing on something new, and the acoustic guitar is what he picked up.
Very nice. So do you know if this was these are all new recordings, so the album that was going to come out anyway?
The record's done completely live. I mean, so
Just sat down and played.
Whether the song order was done at the point he died or not, I don't know. But all of what happens on that record were things he did in live takes, which is his philosophy. A good one.
Really nice. It beautifully recorded, too. You could really hear some nice details in there.
So that's Jack Rose. The record's called Luck in the Valley.
Well, I want to play a group called Glasser. Have you heard of Glasser?
Yeah.
This was a record I remember when it came out earlier this year and really loved it and thought, oh, we got to get this on the show. And then just things come up. You know, we have lots of theme shows or, you know, looking at stuff, you know, mid-year, what's the best so far, and we just end up missing a chance.
Or for me, sometimes I'm putting a show together and it's just too much of this kind of music,
right.
And so I put that aside for next week, and then, something else happens.
Yeah,
Glasser's a good one. I'm glad you're doing this.
Yeah, so Glasser, it's a woman named Cameron Mezzaro, and she's originally from L.A. She's based in Brooklyn. Some of the best music we're hearing is coming out of there. And her album is called Ring. It's the synth-heavy rock pop music that with lots of these really tribal rhythms that you're going to hear on this cut. It's sort of a recurring theme throughout this record. Let's just give a listen to this cut. The song is called Apply from Glasser and the album Ring.
I was taken away and taken by everything in that song.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Yeah, I really love her voice. It's such a confident voice. And I love how she uses it sort of as an instrument in that song and plays around with it a little
bit. That yelp, those yelps make me smile every time I hear it.
Those rhythms remind me a little bit, and actually some of the synth lines and everything remind me a little bit of like earlier Peter Gabriel, some of the stuff he did too.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Yeah, really nice.
I was thinking as I was playing this, because today we put online the Tiny Desk Concert with Kyra Arby, and she's a Malian singer, and we're doing a show about things, the ones we miss. Well, I missed her performance at my own desk.
Right. Where so, were you? What was
I don't remember. I think it was in New York.
Yeah.
And I missed putting the record on the show, because I'd done a couple of other Malian. Mali is the place in Africa that puts out my favorite African music, and I always am a little wary of putting too much Mali stuff and not enough, you know, from the other coasts and so forth. So, liked this record a lot and didn't do anything. And then when I saw her on the Tiny Desk Concert today, because I hadn't seen it because I wasn't here, I thought, got to get her on. And as I was listening to the artist, to Glasser, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to play this music, and if the woman and her name in Glasser is
Cameron Mesereau.
If Cameron Mesereau heard Kyra Arby, I know she'd love her, right? But now I was thinking, what if Kyra Arby heard Glasser?
You just blew my mind.
So let's listen to Kyra Arby. You'll see why I think those two things. And we need to have a project that puts these people together somehow. I mean, really completely opposite ends of the... no more ideas.
No more ideas.
Damn.
Now that's a good one. Let's give a listen. What do you want to hear?
The song is called Djaba, I think. It's Djaba. It's a song about a warrior. She's from Timbuktu, and her cousin's Ali Farka Touré, something I should have mentioned.
Wow.
You know, it's just an aside. So you get that feeling, that sort of bluesy, pulsating music. So here she is, Kyra Arby.
Cool.
Forward, you are a Uruga Gare or Coco Salam, Charitanta Bella Farandi Boradiaga. Watch Jabba, Haidiker Hinka Jawara Kadangan the Orcas, Yadanga Bella Farandi Boradias, Kalina Kunde, Shatina Kunde.
Yeah.
That was Kyra Arby. She's from Mali. And I love those big gourds that they use as percussion. Mm-hmm. They're just an awesome... You get this bass and this... Wow, it's such a sound.
Yeah, I love that. I love the guitars. I mean, yeah, that's always what I think of. Well, I want to take it in another totally different direction. This is a group called Mount Kimby, another one I discovered from the list of the year's best nominees that listeners gave us on the All Songs Considered blog. This is an album called Crooks and Lovers. Mount Kimby is an electronica duo from London, and they call their music post-dubstep. And, you know, the truth is, these genres, particularly in electronica music, have been dissected into such tiny little pieces and niches over the past however many years that it's getting really, really hard, unless you're an absolute expert, to distinguish the differences between them. But, I mean, in the end, it doesn't really matter what you call this. I don't know what you would really call this music, but it's sort of dark and dreamy, lots of clipped samples. And
oh, you're talking about post-dubstep.
Post-dubstep. A lot of chopped up beats. But Mount Kimby's music, it takes a lot of surprising turns, I think, in it. You know, it'll be doing one thing and it evolves into something completely different. And it really does so elegantly. Let's just listen to this song. It's called Before I Move Off, and it begins with this prepared piano sound, which anyone who doesn't know what a prepared piano is, it's basically a regular piano, but you manipulate the strings in odd or unconventional ways. Yeah, you know, you set a wrench on the strings or something like that and play the piano that way. But the song's called Before I Move Off from Mount Kimby and the album Crooks and Lovers.
Thank you.
Can you think of a time when music has been so fragmented? We can just sample so many different pieces of audio so easily and chop them all up into that sort of a form. I mean, I think it's awesome. I love it. But I blame the internet. That's why, because we don't have the attention span to sit down and write an entire song anymore, right? We just take all these little pieces for as long as we can focus on them and stitch them all together, and then bam, you've got a song.
Yeah, well, and in some ways it's being really playful, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the good stuff of that music, is that it's really playful.
Yeah.
I like that. And it's just the tools. I mean, I've been trying to think and try to figure a way, a long-term project. Here's another idea. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Go.
Yeah, okay. So I'm trying to think of how to imagine what the future of music will be. Like, could anyone have predicted how music sounds now from what they knew?
Mm-hmm.
So the first samplers, I remember, 82, I started playing around with one around 82, 83. And a lot of what I used to do was take fragments of people's voices, oohs and ahs and ums, mm-hmm. and make little songs with them and stuff. I'm not sure I would have gotten, even knowing that, I don't think I could have predicted this, the post-dub.
Dub, whatever you want to call it, right.
Backstep, no,
yeah.
Two-step. So anyway, I'm just trying to figure out, is it possible ever to predict long-term what something's going to happen to in an art form. Throw that out.
So much of it depends on the instruments and tools that we come up with, right? I mean, going all the way back to the piano, for example, when the piano was first invented. And now we have all these tools that allow us to turn audio into ones and zeros and then manipulate them in ways that we never have before.
And I think a lot of the collaboration that happens, and though we get records by one person making a record, I always think of them as really collaborations between the artist and you can call them an engineer, the inventor, mm-hmm. of whatever tool that they're using, that it really is... it's not a solo thing,
right?
Because the intent of the engineer who wasn't a musician or maybe didn't know how to express themselves as a musician understood music well enough to know that somebody who did understand music even more so is going to create something more than they could imagine. Am I making any sense today?
It sounds corny, but when we were listening to this song, I was thinking, God, has there ever been a better time to be alive and be a music fan than right now? Now, don't ruin it. What do you got?
All right, so I'm going to go backwards. What the heck? What
the heck?
And I'm going to go backwards in a way, and then I'm going to go forwards.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the next couple ones.
Yeah, okay, good. Do that, because they're connected, and I didn't mean them. It wasn't planned this way, but it sort of fell in this direction. So the first thing I'm going to play is in 1964, 1965, and 1966, Andy Warhol was making films. He's making films, single subject, black and white films, and the Andy Warhol Museum is playing those films now, and they asked Dean Wareham from Galaxy 500, you know Galaxy 500?
Sure, yeah.
And Luna, very Velvet Undergrounding derivative, I don't mean that in a bad way, and Dean Wareham and Britta Phillips are a duo, and together they did an album, and I completely miss this record, I don't know how I did. It's called 13 Most Beautiful Songs for Andy Warhol's Screen Tests. And this is the absolute perfect Sunday morning record for me. And they do this version of a great Bob Dylan song called I'll Keep It With Mine. Do you know that Bob Dylan song?
Yeah, he
did it for Blonde on Blonde, but it didn't make it on Blonde on Blonde. He's tried over and over again to do the song and made it, I think, on Biography was where you finally got to hear him. And I think he's playing with the band.
Mm-hmm.
But the way, because it didn't come out at the time in 66 when he recorded this song, the way many of us came to that song was through Nico. Dylan let Nico hear the song. I'm not sure if he physically gave Nico the song, mm-hmm. but made Nico aware of the song. And Nico, from the Velvet Underground, on her solo album Chelsea Girl, did this version of I'll Keep It With Mine. And now, Dean and Britta for the Andy Warhol films are doing this song again. It uses an auto-tune, and at first I thought, oh, this is going to creep me out. I don't like this. Turns out I think it's gorgeous. I think there's a beautiful version of I'll Keep It With Mine, Dean and Britta, from the record 13 Most Beautiful Songs for Andy Warhol's Screen Tests.
You can search, babe, at any cost. But how long, babe, can you search for what's not lost? Everybody some people are